Tell you right now, we're going to get into the high school scene without waiting any longer because I want to let you in on the baseball news, what's going on in the baseball world. So for high school sports, we got some conference tournaments going on right now. Coxmill High School and Lake Norman will be playing each other tomorrow. That is a conference tournament game. 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Lake Norman won their first conference game against Mooresville, which actually they played Mooresville 3 times in 4 games over the past week and a half. That's a lot of time getting used to your rival, I'll tell you that much, as Mooresville was eliminated from the conference tournament and their chance at the playoffs may have ended there. 6-19 on the season for Mooresville. Statesville was not able to get that final win of the year, although they have one more chance. This isn't a conference tournament game. This is just regular season game. On the 2nd, so on Thursday, Statesville will play Hickory High School for their final game of the year. Hickory did not have a great year. I know we were giving them a lot of praise throughout some of the other sports seasons, like football, basketball. They were having really good years, as well as lacrosse. Their 3A... I'm sorry, not lacrosse. That was tennis. Their 3A men's tennis team drew the 1 seed in the playoffs. So Hickory's had a really good year when it comes to sports. They just didn't really have a great baseball year. 7-13 is what their record is, but they still have one more game against Statesville, who is 0-15, still looking for that first win since 2018. Yes, you heard me correctly. Unless I'm getting lied to by Max Preps, which is generally regarded as the place to get your high school sports information. That's what I'm seeing. They've gone 0-15 this year, one more loss on Thursday, and they'll be 0-16. They have given up double-digit runs in their past, I believe, 8 games here, 9 games, 17-4, 10-3, 20-1, 21-1, 18-5, 19-4, 16-0, 16-0, and 13-2. I'll tell you what, it's easier to tell you how many times they didn't allow double digits this year. 3 times Statesville High School kept their opponents under double digits. Yikes. Yikes is all I'll say about that. North Iredell is going to be ending their season soon. They have a game tonight against Ford, and then they end on Thursday against North Lincoln. Not a good chance for them to make the playoffs. Sitting at 6-12 right now. Last 2 games of the year, kind of a formality for them. They're just going to play them and move on to next year because, like I said, that playoff chance is slim to none. Same with West Iredell, and it said some of these schools really had a chance before they went into their losing skid towards the end of the year. But West Iredell got a win last night, which is a good morale boost against North Lincoln. Pulled out a 7-6 win, and it didn't take extras. It was a 7-inning game. West Iredell getting the win there. They end their season on the road against East Lincoln. So for those seniors over at West Iredell who were able to play in that game last night against North Lincoln, they finished their home career with a win, which I think is pretty wonderful. And then you have South Iredell High School, who starting to actually put things together as we get to the end of the year here. 14-9 right now. They got a 2-game winning streak, and they've got 5 wins in their last 7 games, I believe is how that math works out. They're starting to get hot at the right time. And a couple of days ago, they were able to get the win against Coxmill High School, who is ranked 27th in the state of North Carolina right now. So for South Iredell to get a win, that's a huge morale booster. And they got one more game this year. Their season ended yesterday with a win against West Cabarrus. So as we wait for the brackets of these high school baseball teams, we do have a few teams in the area that are going to be competing in the postseason. And I personally love to see it. Also, not only that, we have the full rankings for North Carolina. Number 1 team in the state of North Carolina this year was Ashley out of Wilmington. Closer to home, the best team that we had was Charlotte Christian, ranked 13th. We'll be right back here on the scoreboard, heading to our first commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you right after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of the scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the scoreboard here on WSIC 844 Studio 4. Same number if you want to be a part of the program. Call me up. We'll chat about, local sports, national sports. We're going to get into the Carolina Panthers here with the NFL draft concluding this weekend. Panthers made a pick in every single round. The interesting thing is only one of their picks was their actual pick that they owned, that being the fourth round pick, which is the first pick of that round, number 101 overall. And all in all, when you take a look at how they did in the draft, I think I'm going to give them a B-. Could have been better, but they did some good things. Now, we talked about this on Friday after round one of the NFL draft. We didn't expect to see the Panthers make a pick on Thursday, but they traded up with the Buffalo Bills one pick for the 32nd pick of round number one, which is the final pick of round number one. And with that pick, they drafted Xavier Leggett. Side note, I need subtitles when he talks. I just cannot understand that man for the life of me. I'm sorry. So they pick Xavier Leggett with the final pick of the first round. Now, the significance in this isn't the fact that they traded up one pick. Oh my God, why are they trading up one pick? No, they traded up one pick for a very specific reason. And the reason being, when you go get a player in the first round versus the second round, the contract is a little bit more expensive, yes, but with that, all first-round picks have the opportunity to have that fifth-year option that the team decides whether or not they want to exercise. So, because they got Xavier Leggett with the last pick of round number one and not pick number one of round number two, they do have that option 4 years from now. If Xavier Leggett turns out to be a top-tier wide receiver, they can say, you know what, before we pay you the big bucks, we are going to give you the fifth-year option. It is a little bit more money, but it is nowhere near as much as a contract that a top-tier wide receiver would get. So they did a good job in that realm. I have a little bit of a problem with pick number two, that being Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, running back. By the way, he was graded fairly well, somebody who can be a very good starter for the Panthers here in the future. My problem isn't the fact that they drafted a running back in second round. You know, we say it all the time, you can get running backs wherever you want. My problem is that they drafted a running back who is coming off of an ACL tear in November. There were a lot of other running backs on the board. You probably could have traded down a little bit and still gotten your running back. So I do have a little bit of problem with that. Not the biggest deal in the world. You know, they need a running back. We all know that Carolina needs a running back because, boy, oh boy, didn't it not work out last year for the Panthers and their running back room. So that was pick number two, Jonathan Brooks. Then with the third round pick, they took Trevon Wallace, a linebacker out of Kentucky. That was the eighth overall pick there. I don't have a problem with this pick. You know, in the later rounds, you're really just hoping that you hit some on somebody. And Trevin Wallace is probably going to be somebody who can contribute with the Panthers. He is a good linebacker there out of Kentucky. He's junior, 6'1". I like it. They needed to get somebody to fill that line. They needed a lot of people. I've told you this from the beginning. They need to just draft people. So they had 7 draft picks. Pick number 4 was the first of round 4. Jatavion Sanders, a tight end out of Texas. Round 5, Chow Smith-Wade, quarterback out of Washington State. Round 6, Jaden Crumney, defensive tackle out of Mississippi State. And with the 7th round pick, Michael Barrett, a linebacker out of Michigan. So we take 2 linebackers in the draft this year, a couple of skill positions, and some meat, which was desperately needed. The Panthers need to bulk up everywhere. And it really has to do with the offensive line, where we start. Maybe we can start to build some momentum this year. The defense played good last year, so building on last year's defense, not a bad idea. And they addressed the offensive line a lot in free agency, so I'm not too worried that we didn't go offensive line in the draft. But the team is starting to come together. Training camp soon, guys. I mean, we feel like we just had the Super Bowl, but in a couple of weeks, rookie training camp's going to start. Preseason games are going to start. By the way, there's been a lot of talk about the NFL with the commissioner during the draft, Roger Goodell, talking about the possibility of an 18-game regular season. If you've been listening to the Scoreboard over the past year, you would have known that is inevitable, because I've been telling you this. It's going to happen. We're going to get to an 18-game schedule. Here's what I didn't expect. With a move to an 18-game schedule, there is a chance that the Super Bowl would fall on President's Day weekend. What does that mean? Well, you would get your Monday off after Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody's been worried about that for years. Why isn't the day after the Super Bowl a holiday? Why can't the Super Bowl be on a Saturday? That way people have Sunday. Because it's Super Bowl Sunday, because the NFL plays on Sunday, and Saturday is for college. That's why. So the reason it'll fall on President's Day weekend is if the NFL decides to go to an 18-game schedule, there would be 2 bye weeks. I mentioned that. I'm still sure that they're going to make a little bit of an amendment to this. I really wonder if they'll limit the amount of games you can play, like saying, hey, your quarterback can only play 16 games in a year or 17 games in a year. You have to start your backup and play your backup in the entire game for 1 game. Something like that would be cool. Nice little wrinkle into the system. Not that the backup quarterback is irrelevant as it is. We saw more backup quarterback play last year than any other year before that. It just makes it a little bit more important to have a good backup. And at some point, the talent level is going to be filled to where the backups are good enough to be starters on every team. And that's when we'll start seeing expansion, which is another thing that was mentioned by the commissioner during the NFL draft. And that is a possible expansion to Europe, whether it's a team based in Europe or a division based in Europe. If you're going to put it, look, this is what I'm going to say. If you're going to put some teams in Europe, you have to put 4 of them. They have to be their own division, and you have to do 8 weeks, or what if it's 18 games, you have to do 9 games. I don't even know how they would do this, because you only play 6 games against your division. I would want them to put those 6 games all together. That way, when it's time to come to the States and play, I don't know how you do that, because then you have your home and away non-conference games, non-division games. I don't know how you put a whole division overseas. But don't worry, the Commissioner Goodell, he did address this, and he said, don't worry, we're not looking at this at least for another decade, which means be prepared for this in the next few years. So with the end of the NFL draft, we turn our attention to other sports, and the offseason for the NFL continues. I like where the Panthers are at. I don't expect them to be the worst team in the NFL again. And if they are, I'll tell you what, eyes are going to turn to Bryce Young. He got a pass in year one. Full disclosure, I don't believe he deserved a pass in year one. I don't. I know there was turmoil. I know everything was a mess, but he did not play good. And I don't believe he should have been given a pass. But he is in the eyes of fans and management. So we go another year with Bryce Young as the quarterback, a little bit better of an offense, a little bit better offensive line, improving that defense just a little bit. Little steps. That's what it's going to take, because you're not going to pull yourself out of a two-win season to a deep playoff run in one year. It just does not happen. We're coming up on the halfway point of the show here. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about some news that's in the sports world, as well as talking about the NHL playoffs. As our hometown, home state, I don't know, hometown is really the word to use, but home state team, the Carolina Hurricanes, have a hot date in round number two with the New York Rangers, and they're trying to set that date with a win tonight against the Islanders, which would win them the series in round number one. We'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side of the break. NBA action, NASCAR talk, we got it all. And your phone calls, if you want to call in, 844-788-3464. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
More of Sports Director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Back. It is now the second half here on the Scoreboard. 844 Studio 4. Call in. Be a part of the show. Anything you want to talk about, we're here for you. We'll help you out. Make sure you're feeling good. There's some things going on around the world of sports. Here's one. Over the weekend, I told you yesterday that the New York Rangers completed their sweep of the Washington Capitals. And one of my favorite things about playoff hockey is when a team gets eliminated, you finally get to hear about all the injuries that these players were playing with. And one of the big ones here, TJ Oshie for the Washington Capitals, played the final four games of the season with a broken hand and a bad back. Everybody gets hurt in the playoffs in hockey. It doesn't matter if you can still walk, if you could still skate, get out there. We need you. There's been stories of players freezing their broken foot to get it into the skate. That way they can tie the skate. Crazy what players go through in the NHL for the playoffs. I guess it's just different because it's the Stanley Cup, I guess. So tonight we have some more hockey action, and it's important hockey action. Starting at 7 o'clock, game number one, Boston and Toronto. The series swings back to Boston tonight, 3-1 lead for the Bruins. And then at 7:30, the one that you're going to want to tune into, that is the New York Islanders traveling to Raleigh, North Carolina to take on the Carolina Hurricanes. And as I've said, the Hurricanes have been the better team in the series so far. Yes, they lost game number four. It was double overtime, though. You know, once you get to overtime in hockey, anything's going to happen, and anything will happen. Carolina has a chance to put the series away tonight, and they have a chance to do it here at home. Now, if they can't do that, I'm going to be a little concerned. I am, because the series will swing back to New York. The Islanders will have home ice advantage, and then you never know. You just got to force a game seven at that point. The mindset of hockey and going into a game, I think the stat is hockey has had the most 3-0 series comebacks over baseball and basketball. The reason being, because hockey, you go down 3-0, you say, all right, let's just get a win. You get the win. And then let's say you're the away team. All right, let's just win this one and get back home for game number six. Then you get to game six and you say, you know what? Just win this one. Win a game and force a game seven. And game seven, the mantra is the same. Anything can happen. One bad bounce is all it takes in a game seven to swing the momentum one way or another. And that's what Carolina is going to try to stop from happening, because if they lose back-to-back games and send the series back to New York, they could be in trouble. They really could. So we'll see if Carolina is able to get what needs to be done, basically, done tonight. They got to take care of business. I don't like the thought of going back to New York for a game six, even though they have been the better team in the series. Now, they've been the better team in some aspects. They actually have been getting beat pretty bad in the faceoff circle here in the playoffs, but overall, they've been a really good playoff team so far, so I expect Carolina to come away with that win. And then we look forward to round number two. We can't say it just yet because it hasn't happened, but there is a very good chance that the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes meet in the second round of the playoffs. And if you took a look at the NHL standings before the season ended, you would see that in the league, the New York Rangers were the best team. The Carolina Hurricanes were the third best team. So this second round matchup could be against two of the heavyweights of the NHL. And it's a series that's going to be long. It's going to be hard. I expect it to go seven games. Unless there's, you know, an injury here, an injury there. Somebody can play, somebody can't play. But it's going to be a good series. And you're going to want to keep an eye on it. Now, this is obviously provided Carolina gets the job done tonight. That famous Kobe Bryant quote, when he was asked about if he was feeling better now that they're up in the series. Job's not done yet. The job is not done. You got to get the win tonight. You do not want to force a game six. You don't want the Islanders forcing a game six here. Because if you get to a game seven, anything can happen. And I would be a little bit concerned. I just told you it happens more often than you think in the NHL. A team coming back from a 3-0 series deficit. We'll see. Game number five, 7:30 tonight. Also going on in the world of sports, we have NBA playoffs. Yes, the NBA playoffs are rolling on. And last night, in the night game, the Denver Nuggets took on the Los Angeles Lakers, and they were eliminated from the playoffs, were those LA Lakers, in a 108-106 loss to the Denver Nuggets. In the past 2 years, the LA Lakers were able to beat the Denver Nuggets one time. That one time was in game number four to avoid a sweep. Also last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder finished their sweep of the Pelicans. The Boston Celtics took a 3-1 series lead against the Miami Heat. And we do have basketball tonight, so if hockey is not really your flavor, maybe you're more interested in the NBA playoffs. Starting with the 7 o'clock game, the Philadelphia 76ers taking on the New York Knicks. 8 o'clock, the Orlando Magic will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's a series that's currently tied 2-2. Interesting series right there. I did not expect Orlando to be able to put up this much of a fight. And then at 9:30, you have the night game. Indiana Pacers taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee without Giannis, and they are down 3-1 in that series. So for the NBA playoffs, they move on. I don't know. I think the ratings-wise for the playoffs have been relatively the same as the NHL. For the NBA, it used to be different. It used to be the NBA would dominate the NHL. Well, the NBA had some, you know, issues, which we're not going to talk about those issues here on the scoreboard. And the NHL signed a new media rights deal, which put all of their games from NBC Sports to ESPN-affiliated channels, ABC, TBS, TNT, all of those channels, which I think grew the game a little bit more. So the ratings for hockey and basketball playoffs are relatively similar. I'm not going to compare them to regular season baseball because you can't, it's just not baseball season yet. When there's 162 games, you have plenty of time to watch baseball. That's a summer thing. And we will be covering baseball a little bit more as we get to the end of the playoffs. There are some surprises. There are some no surprises here where you look at the standings and you go, yeah, that seems about right. And then you look at other teams like the LA Dodgers, who are 19-12 with the highest paid team of all time, basically. And they're just kind of, eh. You know, they're good. They're leading the NL West right now by 4 games, but they're just kind of eh. Long way to go, though. You cannot conclude anything from the first 30 games of a baseball season. One more segment here on the scoreboard. We're going to talk a little NASCAR and whatever else is in the world of sports here in the final segment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the scoreboard. We're back right after this.
Now more of the scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Back. I was about to come back here and I almost choked. Ugh, man, we're okay. Everything's good. Final segment on the scoreboard here today. 844-788-3464. Call me up if you have something you'd like to chat about. I don't care what it is. It could be baseball, football, soccer. You know, I take that back. I'm so frustrated with Charlotte FC. I don't want to talk soccer right now. I don't, and I am frustrated, and they are a frustrating team to watch. They continue to give up goals in stoppage time of the 90th minute, and they lose. It's a problem. It is a problem. Okay. The NASCAR Cup Series was at Dover this weekend. We already spoke about that. With Denny Hamlin getting the win in the Worth 400. You also have this weekend coming up. I believe we're at Kansas. So with Dover being over, ha 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 ha, and Denny Hamlin grabbing the win there, we turn our attention to Kansas Motor Speedway. We're getting close to All-Star Weekend here. Kansas, Darlington, and then it's All-Star Weekend. And then after that, May 26th on a Sunday at 6 o'clock right here, Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Coca-Cola 600, one of the best races of the year, if they would get rid of the stages. They broke it up into four 100-lap segments. That is horrible, and it's a disgrace. Remember when the 600 would be a fuel race at the end? Yeah, never again. I'm curious if people still have a problem with stage racing. I know that in my circle, at least, from people that I talk to, they don't like stage racing. I'm curious what you guys listening out there think. 844-788-3464. We are years into this now. Is it time to get rid of stage racing? In my opinion, it would make the races better, not worse. You actually have a chance for strategy to play out if you don't have stage breaks. It's like when you know that you're going to have a stoppage in the race, you just race to that point, regroup, and then decide what you're going to do after that. Whereas if you don't know that you're going to have a stoppage in the race, you're going to have to play it out differently. And 600 miles is a long way to race. It is. But it doesn't feel as long, and it doesn't feel as interesting when it's four 100-lap segments. Because if it goes green, you pit on lap 50, and that's it. There you go. You pit every 50 laps. The stage ends, you pit. You get to lap 50 in stage two, you pit. So on and so forth. I just think it's terrible, and I'm starting to get tired of it. Now, I like what NASCAR did last year at the road courses. They said, we're still going to have stage points, but we're not going to throw the caution. Now, this was road courses. It happened on a couple of them. And then NASCAR said, yeah, there weren't any crashes, so we got to bring the stages back. We got to have some cautions. And look, I may be in the minority in this, but NASCAR has always had stage breaks. Huh? How many times you were sitting down watching a NASCAR race and, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, 150 laps into a run, all of a sudden, caution's out, debris on the racetrack. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I bet there's a piece of sheet metal on the track or something, or someone's tire flew off. Well, for quite some time, if you were watching the NASCAR broadcast on TV, they would not show you where the debris was. Why? Because there wasn't any debris. NASCAR just wanted to throw a caution. They make up the rules as they go. And if you think I'm lying, take a look at the stats of how many debris cautions we would have before stages and how many debris cautions we have after stages. I promise you, it's going to show you what I'm telling you. NASCAR would just throw the caution for debris because they could, because they want to make the race interesting. And my favorite part is when they decide not to throw a caution, like in the middle of a green flag cycle and there's a car around, and sometimes they don't throw the caution. Well, at Dover, they weren't able to do that because there was a car backwards on the racetrack, and it's Dover. So they had to throw a caution. But and that shakes things up, and I like that. I like when things get shaken up like that. But NASCAR needs to stop making it up as they go. I know it's motorsports. I know it's got to be, in a way, fluid. You can't have hard rules the same way you have hard rules in stick and ball sports. You just can't. It's not going to work the same. Kind of like how you can't really have a playoff in motorsports because you're not going up against somebody head-to-head. I personally don't like this elimination playoff. I still don't. And look, if NASCAR is insistent on having some kind of playoffs, I think we can all compromise a little bit and say, okay, just go back to the original chase format. 10 drivers, they make the chase. No winning you're in because, well, every race is going to matter then. You got to be in the top 10 in points if you want a chance at the championship. Whereas nowadays, it's okay, I'm going to run 25th every single race. I'm going to win the final race of the regular season, and then maybe I'll advance a few rounds in the playoffs and have a chance to race for a championship. It shouldn't be like that. Anyway, we head to Kansas this weekend. I personally like Kansas. I liked it better when it was always a night race. I just think that race at night looks a lot better and it drives a lot better and we have more action at night. I think every race should be a day to night race personally, but you know, I'm not allowed to have an opinion over here. 844-788-3464. Let me know what you think about the stage racing. Really? I mean, the stage racing is terrible. I can't stand it, to be honest with you. Weekend schedule. This week, we have the Arca Menard Series, the Craftsman Truck Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. So Xfinity has a week off. Everything is pretty much going to be happening on Saturday. There is an ARCA open practice on Friday. But we have a full day on Saturday starting at 10:30 ARCA practice, ending at 8 o'clock truck race. So if you want NASCAR on Saturday, you're going to have plenty of NASCAR to watch. Might not be the Cup Series, but it's still NASCAR. All right, as we head to the end of the show here, let's turn our heads to this day in sports history. On this day, in 1986, a NASCAR record was set that will never be broken again. On this day, 1986, Bill Elliott set an all-time NASCAR qualifying record, winning the pole for the Winston 500 at Talladega Super Speedway, 212.809 miles per hour. Or, if you were wondering, he got around Talladega in just under 45 seconds. 44.998 seconds on the stopwatch. Nobody will ever put a lap down with that kind of speed ever again. On this day in 2015, since we talked a little NFL draft earlier, Jameis Winston, everybody remember famous Jameis? He was drafted first overall by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was 2015, almost 10 years ago now. In 2020, we have a lot of good ones from recently. 2022, on this day, Brock Purdy was drafted last in the draft by the 49ers, becoming Mr. Irrelevant. And over the 2 years he's been in the league, he's proven himself to be a pretty decent quarterback. And finally, last year, the Seattle Kraken became the first NHL franchise to earn its first ever playoff series win against the reigning Stanley Cup champions as the Kraken beat the defending champs Colorado Avalanche in 7 games. The success of NHL expansion franchises is an interesting case study. We'll see how Utah does next year. Thanks for tuning into the Scoreboard tonight, everyone. I appreciate each and every one of you for listening. Take a look at the Carolina Hurricanes playing tonight. A chance to move on to round number 2. I'll let you know how it was tomorrow. Have a good night, everyone.
Serving you better than ever before.